This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Eating processed food for every meal isn't healthy for people or for dogs. We all know that. And kibble is subject to multiple rounds of high heat processing, making it an ultra processed food. The farmer's dog is real, fresh, healthy food with whole meat and veggies gently cooked in human-grade kitchens to preserve their nutritional value. My dog Barnaby loves the farmer's dogs. When he sees me pulling one of those packets out, he comes running. It's personalized, vet-developed, and it has recipes for as little as $2 a day. Meals arrive in pre-portioned, ready-to-serve packs, and they're conveniently delivered on whatever schedule works for me.
Get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/happier. That's 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/happier.
Hello and welcome to Happier, a podcast about ideas to help us become happier, healthier, more productive, and more creative. This week, we'll talk about why you might celebrate a personal anniversary, and I've got a hack related to cell phone use. I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and human nature. I'm in New York City, and with me is my sister, Elizabeth Kraft. And Elizabeth, today is Halloween, and that got me thinking about you and me and Dad and trick-or-treating in our neighborhood in Kansas City when we were little.
That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in L.A. And Gretchen, as I remember, it rained like every single year. I remember I always had some sort of cardboard in my costume and it would get wet.
Or we had to wear like a parka over like our beautiful costume and only the bottom peeked out. Yeah, but it was still not a problem you face in L.A.
No, that doesn't happen in Los Angeles.
Yeah. So what is Jack doing for Halloween?
He is going to be a ninja.
Oh, okay.
He's got the costume like 2 months ago. We go to a fun neighborhood where there's tons of trick-or-treating, and he trick-or-treats there with some friends.
Well, it's kind of a little bit of a sad milestone for me because Eleanor isn't going trick-or-treating this year. She's getting dressed up for school because they can dress up for school. But then she's decided that she and her friend are going to watch scary movies instead of going out.
A
friend of mine and I are going to just like walk around our neighborhood ourselves just because it's fun to see everything. But this is the first year she's not going trick-or-treating.
Oh, wow. That is a milestone.
That's a milestone. So before we jump in to this episode's Try This at Home, we got an interesting email from Joel.
Yeah, he says, I liked your take on knowing yourself better with staying at hotels in episode 189. I travel most weeks for work, and I implemented the following hotel rule for myself: no hotel TV. I found early on in my travel days that I could get sucked into movies that I really don't care about or that I had already seen multiple times. One movie blended into another movie, and I would later realize it was 2 a.m. with that next day of work lingering just a few hours away. Now on the road, I watch only live sports. I found that a live sports event usually ends at a reasonable hour, and the commercials don't get me hooked into what's on next after this short commercial break. Being on the road also means that I usually don't see my favorite team playing on a local station. So even this exception is mostly reduced to bigger sports events, example, Major League Baseball playoffs. This rule has allowed me to focus on better sleep techniques, and my on-the-road sleep quality is greatly improved since my early travel days.
So this is a great example of how if you know yourself better and you think about, well, how am I using this time? It can shine a spotlight on something where, okay, maybe you can adjust it in a way that's still enjoyable, but doesn't have negative consequences.
Yes. And it's always good to get better sleep, Gretch. You're the sleep fellow.
Yes. Especially in a hotel.
Yes.
So Elizabeth, this week our Try This at Home tip is to celebrate personal anniversaries. Now, I know I've mentioned before that in our family, we celebrate January 9th every year. That was the year that Jamie was announced to be cured of hepatitis C. That was the day we got the email from the doctor saying the virus was not detected and he was done. He was cured. And at the time, I thought, oh, I'll never forget this day. Mm. But sure enough, a year later, I was like, it was around this time. And then I thought, you know what? For the rest of our lives, let's celebrate January 9th. Let's make it into a thing. And it's been such a happiness boost.
I love that. Now, when you celebrate a personal anniversary, what do you do? Is it just saying, acknowledging it, or do you do anything?
Well, I have to say, it would probably be better if we actually did something. But usually it's just like me saying, hey, today's January 9th. And like, maybe we'll have a special dessert or just kind of acknowledge it. I usually send a picture to the grandparents and say like, oh, it's the anniversary. So it's more like marking the day. It's not really like doing much of anything. But even though it's not doing that much, it's still kind of, it makes me remember the anniversary in a way that I wouldn't. Like it's on my repeating calendar every January.
And I would think you have like a rush of joy in remembering that moment and then, you know, being grateful like, oh my gosh, it's so wonderful that we had this day.
No, absolutely. And I think that's one of the reasons why personal anniversary is so great in this case is that it boosts gratitude. Because something like that, once it's cured, it's easy to like take it for granted and not realize like how different everything could have gone and how fortunate we were and what a tremendous thing it was. And by doing it every year, it reminds me, never take that for granted. So I think it's a huge gratitude booster. Now, how about you, Elizabeth? Do you have a personal anniversary?
Well, one that, I mean, I don't really celebrate it, but now you're making me actually want to celebrate it, is December 9th, because that's the day Adam and I sort of acknowledged our feelings for each other.
Ooh.
Because we were working together at the time, so we didn't sort of start dating in a traditional way. And December 9th, I kind of always think of as our real anniversary more than our wedding anniversary.
Ah.
So maybe we should start doing something special on December 9th every year.
Is this the Cheesecake Factory dinner that I remember that you were like, that was kind of our first time like on kind of a date?
That was our first actual date. This was why we went to the Cheesecake Factory. I don't know. No, this was, he came over and we talked and we sort of said, okay, something's going on here. So this was like the date after which nothing was ever the same again.
Right.
In a good way.
But again, it's like you have your wedding anniversary, but maybe it's just fun like to say like December 9th and just say like, oh, X number of years ago, remember we were having our big conversation. It's just, again, it's like Valentine's Day. It's like another reason to think about it. Now, we had an interesting suggestion from a reader about creating a personal anniversary that was inspired by the hashtag Happier Labor Day that we talked about reframing a personal anniversary to change the way you view it.
Yeah, this came from Andrea. She said, thank you for your suggestion in episode 184 to take Labor Day as a day to reflect upon work life. I did this, which was great, but I applied it in a different way as well. My marriage ended this summer, but since we have children together, we still have a lot of contact. Our anniversary date is coming up, and it has been filling me with dread. I can't celebrate it, but I also can't ignore it. I've been thinking about this for a few days. This morning, I had an idea. Maybe we could take the day to reflect upon our relationship as it stands now, what we would like to see it be, and steps to get there. Even if he's unwilling to participate, I can still reflect on my own and feel like I've paid my respect to the day. I am strongly a questioner, but I find this solution so soothing. It is not an arbitrary date for me, and it will hopefully help us both be better examples for our children. This is like amazing. I love this idea.
Yes, right. It's transform the anniversary. Let it evolve to be what it needs to be now in your lives. And so it kind of takes away the bitterness of the day and makes it into something constructive that still kind of recognizes your bond because you have children together. You have this connection that will always remain.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And Gretch, you just had a huge anniversary, the 10th anniversary of the Happiness Project.
Yes, the 10th anniversary edition just came out yesterday. And it's really exciting because this is a kind of anniversary that you don't celebrate with most books. It's unusual to have like a 10th anniversary edition. So I feel super excited that my publisher wanted to do it and that, you know, people seemed interested enough. And it was great to go back. Like for the book, I wrote a thing at the end about sort of how my life has changed or kind of updates. People are often very interested in like, what are Eliza and Eleanor doing? A lot of them think people read the book and think of them as still being little, which Eliza and Eleanor think is very funny.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're
well,
still
growing.
Well,
you call them like the little girl and the big girl.
Yeah. Now they're both pretty big.
So what are some of the like highlights of the last 10 years of having watching this book unfold?
Well, one thing that's funny is that it's like gotten on TV three times, which like makes me feel like it's sort of like elevated to this. I don't know. I just got a tremendous kick out of that. Once it was a question on Jeopardy,
which I remember that.
I feel like it was a bucket list thing. It made a cameo in Big Little Lies when there's a scene of it being on the nightstand of one of the main characters in a very ironic context. I have to say, it seems like it's used ironically. And then in Orange is the New Black, it was used ironically. But it was definitely discussed, so that was huge. And I have to say, even now, like when I go on book tours for my most recent books, a lot of times people will bring a copy of The Happiness Project and show me how they marked it up, like how they highlighted it or put tags in or wrote in it. And that I love that. I love seeing like a book where somebody really beat it up because they were really using it. That's always really exciting.
And you're doing a course starting in January.
Yes.
Like so a this Happiness is a, Project course.
Yeah, because so many people over the years have said, like, I want to do it too. They've wanted resources to help them go through their own Happiness Project. So finally I was like, oh, why don't I just do like a video course? It'd be fun. And so if you want to know about this, it's going to launch in January. Go to courses.gretchenrubin.com/happiness and there'll be all the information that they want.
Well, happy anniversary, Gretch.
Thank you.
The Happiness Project has definitely made me happy over the last 10 years.
And
I can't wait to, I've got my copy and I can't wait to read your updates.
Oh, great.
Even though I know everything that's happened, I still want to read about it.
You're such a good sister. So let us know if you do try this at home and how celebrating a personal anniversary works for you and what you're celebrating for your personal anniversary. Let us know on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Drop us an email at podcast@gretchenrubin.com or go to happiercast.com/193 for everything related to this episode.
Coming up, we've got a happiness hack that will help you never lose your cell phone. But first, this break.
We all know that our life and our health can be improved when we eat nourishing, healthy meals, but it can be hard to maintain. With Sunbasket Meal Kits, it's easy because they take care of the details. Sunbasket offers 18 chef-crafted, dietitian-approved recipes each week with options like Mediterranean, carb-conscious, vegetarian, and keto-friendly. The recipes are quick and easy to follow, and you can enjoy a meal full of organic produce and clean ingredients that's ready in 30 minutes or less.
Try mouthwatering Sunbasket dishes like salmon burgers with lemon dill mayo and seared squash or steaks with chimichurri and harissa roasted sweet potatoes. My son Jack loves salmon and he loves the Sunbasket salmon burgers. Go to sunbasket.com/happier today to get $45 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/happier to get $45 off your first box plus free shipping. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, Gretchen, it's time for our happiness hack, and I know you are very excited about this one.
Yes. So I was recently speaking at a conference, and the organizers of the conference had something that I had never seen. Now, apparently everybody has these, but of course I had never noticed it before. And it is called a bandolier. This is not an ad. They do not know that we are having this discussion. So this is just me speaking from the heart. So a bandolier is basically a cell phone case that has a long strap so that you can wear it across your body. And it was great. I could see for the conference, because like with conferences, people have like clipboards and they're moving things and it's like your hands are full. And I could see that for the women who were organizing it, they just could reach down and pull up their phone whenever they wanted. And I was so curious about it, so I asked them about it, and they told me where they got it, which is Bandolier. That's who makes like all different kinds of colors and styles of these. And so I got one. And I love it. And I got it. And I sent one to you too, Elizabeth, because I was so into it.
Yes.
Have you used yours yet?
I haven't used it yet. I'm going to use it on set because our last episode of The Fix is about to shoot. And so I'm going to use it on set because I'm always walking around and constantly going, oh, where's my phone? Where's my phone? Yeah. So it'll be perfect for that. But Marsha Clark, who I work with, she uses one of these every day. She keeps her phone in a bandolier. So I knew about it, and they're very big in LA. A lot of people have them. And so I'm excited to give mine a try. So thank you, because one, that's a great hack for me. And two, it was fun to get a surprise in the mail, as we discussed.
Fun to get a surprise in the mail. I will say this too, is like, even if you don't want to use it all the time for whatever reason, like the strap does take up room if you're going to put it in a bag sometimes, or maybe you don't like the look of having a phone strapped around your neck. It is great in certain circumstances where you feel like there's a high likelihood you might leave your phone behind. For instance, in an airport. Like, I travel a lot. And you know, in the airport, you have bags, you're pulling things, you might be like buying something in the snack shop. And I feel like that is the time when you're sort of like hurried and distracted. And also, you need your phone right at the ready because you're like checking in, you know, to show them your boarding pass. And so it's handy to have it so that you don't have to worry about losing it or like leaving it in the restroom. And also, you don't have to just like pull it out of your bag. It's just right there. So I could see how like you might use it on set, but then not use it during your daily life. It might be something that you don't necessarily have to 100% commit to. Or like you're at an amusement park with your kids and you want to just be able to take pictures, but you don't want to risk losing your phone. So Bandolier, I will post a link to it in the show notes. Again, this is not an ad. I just found it to be like a real happiness booster.
Okay, Gretchen, it's time for a Know Yourself Better question, and this is an interesting one. This is something that came out of an experience you had.
Yeah, so this is my question, and I honestly am asking if anyone else has experienced this. So have you experienced something like what I'm about to describe? And I can only describe it as a personality slip. And this has now happened to me twice. So the first time, I just thought it was some weird thing. The second time, I'm like, is this a phenomenon? So the personality slip is when I felt my personality dramatically change for like 30 seconds to a minute long.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the first time, I was walking down Lexington Avenue, I was heading to the subway at 77th, and all of a sudden I felt my ambition leave my personality. It was like a backpack fell off my shoulders, and I understood what it would be like to be me if I had no ambition.
And what would it be like?
It was weird. It felt kind of free, but also kind of directionless. Like, I hadn't realized like how much I feel like there's something poking me in the back going, go, 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 go. Or like, you know, like somebody behind me on the ladder going, you gotta go, you gotta go, you gotta go. All of a sudden that was gone. It was the weirdest thing. It was cool. It was interesting. It was sort of weird that I knew that that's what had changed. Like, that's such a specific kind of, anyway. Okay, so that happened. That was weird. And that was years ago, and I've never forgotten it. And then just the other day, I was in a cab with my really good friend, Julia. And she was telling a story, and I looked over at her, and this was like a darker experience. And it was like I became a psychopath. It was like she stood out to me so clearly. I could see exactly how I could push her buttons. I felt like I could make her do anything I wanted by telling her things. I felt like a puppeteer. I felt it was like all the beauty of empathy and sympathy and, you know, my feelings and her feelings. It was like it all dropped away. And it was just like I saw her crystal clear with like the coldest eye. And it was chilling. And then snap, it all came back up. And it was just as if I always felt toward her, and I didn't feel any of that. She didn't feel clear to me in that way. I didn't feel like I could manipulate her. But there was a period where it was like everything changed.
It's interesting. I wonder if there's a neurological explanation for this, of some sort of brain synapse firing. Because it's, you know, because it sort of feels like deja vu almost.
Yes. No, it's very much like that. It felt, like a chemical surge or drop of some kind that kind of like dramatically affected everything. No, I feel like it was physical. I would bet that it was physical, exactly as you proposed, because it felt too sudden and fleeting, but also kind of responsive. I didn't feel like it was rising up from my unconscious. I felt like it was something that was happening to me.
I can't say I've ever had a personality slip, but I will say, like, sometimes I think, like, when you're married, you suddenly look at the person like they're a complete stranger.
Yes.
You know, you have a moment weird. Of like, who is this? Wait, this is who I'm married to? Like, I don't even know them, you know? And I think it's a similar thing where you kind of, it's almost like a dissociative experience where you're just like, whoa. And then like a minute later, someone says something and it's like it never happened.
Yes.
But there are these moments in time where suddenly your life is like outside of you.
Yeah.
But I would love to meet a Gretchen without ambition. Like we could have a lot of leisurely lunches. That would be nice.
But I don't think you want to meet Gretchen the psychopath.
Yeah, Gretchen the psychopath.
Also possible.
I'll skip on.
So I'm so curious to hear about other people have experienced this. Like the marriage example that you explained, I have experienced that 100%. So maybe this
and
is it, like deja vu.
And does it give you insight? I mean, that's, you know.
100%. It gave me tremendous insight. I do felt like it was a gift in a way. I feel like I do know myself better in a way that I wouldn't have believed possible. Because I feel like it did come to me from the outside like that. It's fascinating. I hope it happens again. But I think it's just, anyway, it was interesting.
Yes.
And Elizabeth, now we have a listener question that's also, we're inviting lots of answers from listeners just the way we did in the last segment.
And this week's listener question is a response to the Facts of Life book that we talked about in episodes 185 and 188. It comes from Amy. She says, I do have a question related to this project and would love listener feedback. I've been trying to get my parents to do this for years without success. They literally do not have a will yet as, quote, talking about it will bring it upon us earlier. You and your brother can just figure it out when it happens. And they are in their 70s. I've tried starting the binder for them to have it be lost or not followed up on. We live across the country from each other, so I can't just bully my way in there. Any suggestions would be greatly appreciated. Ooh, this is a hard one.
Now, see, this is tough because we have it easy with our parents because our parents are very matter-of-fact and straightforward about talking about this kind of thing.
Yes.
I think it'd be great to get ideas from listeners about approaches that they've used to try, because this is something that's very common. I mean, you read about all this all the time, how this is just a common problem that many people face, is that these kind of end-of-life tasks have not been completed in time, and then it's a lot more trouble to deal with all the tasks and duties than it might otherwise be.
I mean, I would think it might help to at least present the practical side with the will, because if you don't have a will, which I have to admit I don't, and I it's one of my 18 for 18 and I've got to get it before the end of the year.
Okay.
But if you don't have a will and you die, I mean, I think you can lose money. Like it's actually a practical thing that all sorts of things kick in that you don't want to kick in. So,
and it slows things down.
Yes. So they might respond at least to that. That's the most basic thing. I mean, even if you can't get them to like write down, you know, their car insurance number.
Yeah.
At least they need to have a will.
Now, it's interesting because here I would be curious to hear how listeners dealt with this thing, because clearly they have a kind of belief if we prepare for dying, it is more likely that we will die.
Right.
It's like, okay, that is inevitable. And like, do you really believe that it will happen earlier if you prepare? Like, how do you deal with some, and I think sometimes people unconsciously have this kind of belief, like they just don't want to deal with it. How do you deal with that kind of thing, which isn't sort of subject to logic, but can be a very powerful aspect of why people are behaving the way they do?
And maybe they're rebels, Gretchen.
Yeah, well, I think we could think about that. So you could think about the four tendencies and how you might communicate about this. So Elizabeth, you mentioned appealing to efficiency. That is the kind of thing that would really help if you were dealing with questioners. Like, this is going to save time. This is going to save energy. This is going to save money. It's more efficient for you to do it now than to wait. With upholders, you just say, like, this needs to be done. You know, this is just something that has to be done. For an obliger, what you could do is say, you need to do this for me. I'm worried. This is weighing on my mind. You're letting me down, because they will be more responsive to outer expectations than inner expectations. And then, as you said, rebel. For a rebel, you would appeal to identity. Like, are you the kind of person who leaves behind a giant mess? Are you the kind of person who leaves things in disarray? Are you the kind of person who doesn't face facts? Like, find the way into their identity. And how that you could find an aspect of their identity that would be, which would conflict with this, because a rebel wants to put their identity forward into the world, so they don't want to do something that's going to undermine that identity.
Yes.
And if you have no idea what we're talking about with the tendencies, you could take the quiz and get a brief intro at quiz.gretchenrubin.com. I think 1.7 million people have taken that free quiz now, so that will make those terms clearer if you're not familiar.
Yes. So listeners, if you have any ideas how Amy can get her parents to do this, let us know and we'll pass them along. I'm really curious because I think this is hard. I think it's hard to get people to do something of this type if they don't want to.
But you know, Elizabeth, it reminds me of something that you guys talked about in Happier in Hollywood several times on your other podcast with Sarah Fain, that action is the antidote to anxiety. And so maybe that's another thing that maybe you could remind people to. It's like, maybe you'll feel less anxious if you take action. I don't know. But yeah, let's hear from listeners.
Yes. Coming up, I give a gold star to my son, Jack. But first, this break.
There are some stories from our mother's life that I love to hear about. I love hearing about how she played with a tin dollhouse when she was a girl. And just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for our families forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother and mother figures for years to come. And it makes a wonderful keepsake book so you never, never lose these wonderful stories and memories.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, like, what was your favorite toy as a little girl, or what was your first job? All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/happier. That's storyworth.com/happier to save $10 on your first purchase. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions.
We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at dell.com/welcome to now.
Okay, Gretch, it's time for demerits and gold stars, and you are up this week with a happiness demerit.
So this is a tech-related demerit. So I have a thing on my laptop that makes sure that it syncs with my desktop. So like, I usually work on my desktop, but if I go to a library or a coffee shop or I'm traveling, I need to have all my documents up to date, and so I have this program that syncs them up. And I was getting ready. It was super early in the morning. I was getting to leave on a flight, so I had limited time, and my sync did not work. And I kept hitting it over and over and over again. And I did know enough to reboot. I rebooted. That did not work. But this is the demerit. I allowed myself to get rattled, and so I just kept doing the same things over and over again instead of saying, calm down, step back, think about what else you could do. And what I didn't realize is, like, maybe I needed to reboot my modem. And I know it's like that's like 101. Right. It's just reboot everything you can get your hands on. And, like, sometimes often that works. And I didn't think about it. And it was really inconvenient because I couldn't open up any documents while I was traveling for like 3 days.
Oh,
and
gosh.
So the demerit is, I know better. Take a minute, take a deep breath. Kind of just like let my mind go wide and think, don't just keep doing the same thing over and over, which is what I did, thinking that something's going to change. It's a computer. It's not going to, like, I have to do something different. So anyway, I think I won't do that again.
Well, what's funny, Gretch, I have to say is anytime someone tells me, just why don't you try unplugging it and plugging it back in, it enrages me because I'm like, that could never work. And then inevitably it works. But that every single time I resist the plugging and unplugging because it just feels like, no, it's not going to work.
I know. And so often it does. Yes. So that's a lesson that we just have to like relearn and relearn. So Alyssa, that's my demerit. And maybe you can learn from my mistakes with your own plugging. What's your gold star for the week?
Well, I'm giving my gold star to my son, Jack, because he had an insight that just made me so happy. He's taking Brazilian jiu-jitsu, which is sort of where you grapple. It's like a lot on the ground. It's kind of wrestling. Mm-hmm. And he said, Mom, you know what I realized? And I said, what? And he goes, I think I'm going to do great in jiu-jitsu tomorrow. And I said, why? And he said, because I realized if I think I can do it, I can do it.
Ooh.
And I was like, well, how did you realize that? And he said, well, I was watching Ninjago and they were talking about how if they believe in themselves, you know, then they can do whatever they want to do. He goes, and I realized I could apply that in my life. I could apply that to jiu-jitsu. And if I believe I can do it, I can do it. And I was like, wow, this is like the insight, you know, for your whole life. That's probably one of the most important things to realize. And then beyond that, and this I loved, he said, and even if I don't end up doing it, I'll probably do better because I believed I could. Because, you know, and there's just people who are going to be stronger than he is who he cannot beat no matter what. But he's like, but if I think I can, then I'll at least do better. And I was just like so proud of him for sort of paying attention to, you know, these lessons and then applying it to his own life and really thinking about it.
What is Ninjago?
Oh, Ninjago is a show where these Lego characters are ninjas and they go on missions and they battle evil and they're, you know, they learn important life lessons such as believe in yourself.
Wow.
And it's a great show, actually. But anyway, and Jack's seen every episode.
Is that why he wants to be a ninja for Halloween?
Yes, although he's not going to be a Ninjago ninja. That's its own costume. He's going to be a traditional ninja. These are what 8-year-old boys think about. But anyway, so I was proud of Jack for having that insight, applying it to his life.
Yeah.
And we'll see where it takes him.
That's so profound, though, because it's like he got there on his own. That's the kind of thing where you can say it and say it and say it. But you have to take that in. And clearly, like, it had connected with him in a way where he was like, now I see what this can mean for me in a way that was both optimistic and also realistic.
Yes.
At 8 years
old. I was so proud of him.
That's great. Oh, what a beautiful gold star. And that is it for this episode of Happier. Remember to try this at home. Celebrate a personal anniversary. Let us know if you tried it and if it worked for you.
Thank you to our producer, Cameron Drews. Also, thanks to Kristen Meinzer and Andy Bowers of Panoply. Get in touch. Gretchen's on Twitter at Gretchen Rubin, and I'm at Elizabeth Kraft. Our email address is podcast@GretchenRubin.com.
If you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend and subscribe to us wherever you listen to your podcasts. The resources for this week, as we mentioned, the 10th anniversary edition of The Happiness Project is out now. It is a huge help to me, just like we asked for with the podcast, when people post reviews on Amazon or Goodreads or wherever you read your books, because that really does help other readers to find a book. And also share if you have a great Happiness Project story, put it on Instagram and I'll repost it. I get a huge kick out of Happiness Project stories. And the course, as I mentioned again, is courses.gretchenrubin.com/happiness. And also, speaking of the book or any book, if you want a signed personalized book plate or a signature card, if it's for an ebook or an audiobook, for you or for gifts, I'll post a link in the show notes for how you can say the names that you would like them personalized with and request them. Do these early, because I get very tense around, like, what if we get up too close to the holidays about whether I can get these to you in time to get them, like, wrapped and whatever. And this is U.S. and Canada only. I am sorry. That's because of mailing costs. This is an actual physical thing that I will mail to you. And so it's just U.S. and Canada only.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Kraft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward.
Gretch, by the way, in LA, all the parents dress up. So I have to dress up for Halloween. And I can't just be like the same thing over and over. I need to get a new costume, which, as you can imagine, I have not thought about.
Oh, wow. Weren't you Superwoman one year?
Wonder Woman last year. So I got to find something else this year.
Put that on Instagram.
I don't know about you, but I'm always looking for ways for my son to get involved and give back in our local community. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Student Visionaries of the Year, a campaign by Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, the largest nonprofit organization dedicated to creating a world without blood cancers.
Student Visionaries of the Year is a 7-week philanthropic leadership development program for high school students. Participants form strong teams and fundraise in honor of a pediatric blood cancer survivor in their local community. This program is transformative. It not only helps students develop valuable life skills like project management, communication, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship, not to mention it looks great on college applications, but most importantly, is also a chance for them to engage in meaningful work within their community and make a real impact on blood cancer patients and their families. You can learn more about Student Visionaries of the Year or even nominate a student at lls.org/students. That's lls.org/students.